worship. The sermon theme is hearing and believing. The sermon text is Luke 16, 19 through 31. We take you now to the sanctuary of Peace Lutheran Church.
Support one another in our lives of faith. This morning, I'm proud to be able to say that we have a few announcements that help you in that way continue to be with one another. We are collecting during our first camp our noisy offering for Camp Luther, and it sure is Camp Luther season, isn't it out there already? What a wonderful day, and just a blessing for those children that will be able to participate in camp. And if you're interested in helping with that, the collection will be taken this morning. Our elders will be meeting on Wednesday this week, Wednesday at 6 p.m. So we look forward to meeting and being able to see how we can continue our endeavors to grow in our faith. And most importantly, for those that are looking for activities today following worship service, there is Vacation Bible School from 10:30 until 1 o'clock. That's for all of our young children, their preschool ages until 5th grade. If you're an adult and want to stick around and kind of glean some of those wonderful lessons and teachings that are going on, I'm sure that they will invite you to stay and be part of those activities also. So we are doing some of these wonderful things today and upcoming, looking forward to how we can be in God's Word and our lives changed from and through it. Our opening hymn this morning is number 908. Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God,
God in his mercy has given his son to die for us, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I invite you to speak with me the introit. O Lord, I have trusted in your steadfast love. I will sing to the Lord. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long must they take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. O Lord, I have trusted in your steadfast love.
My heart shall rejoice in your salvation.
I will sing to the Lord.
He has been redeemed.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. This holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. with you. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do no good thing, grant us your grace to keep your commandments, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for our readings.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Would you please join me in reading the gradual? I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
I invite the congregation to stand as you're able as we continue with the Alleluia. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. I invite the congregation to be seated, and the children that are present may come forward for children's message. Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad that you are here today and you're able to hear these readings and that you're able to hopefully be part of Vacation Bible School that follows. We have all in our life experienced promises, right? Yes. Now, how have any of you ever had a time when promise wasn't kept? Yeah. How about you out there in the audience? And if you have any promises not kept, well, your children aren't the only ones, right? Adults also know of promises not being kept. How do we feel when promises aren't kept? Yeah, sad, right? Maybe some anger or being upset that the promise wasn't kept for us, right? Yeah. Are those the feelings that you and I have when we come to church, though? No. Generally, when we come to church, we're not feeling sad. We're not feeling mad. We do feel happy and we are filled with excitement and joy because here in church, do we know that God has given us promises?
Yes.
Yeah. God's given us promises. We heard in the Old Testament, he made a promise to Abraham, right? And he said his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. Did God fulfill that promise to Abraham?
Yes.
He did. Throughout the years and throughout the generations, Abraham's descendants became more and more numerous so that they were like stars in the heaven. So was God faithful to his promise to Abraham? Yeah. And the promises that God has given to you and that he's given to me and that he's given to all of his church, can we trust him in regard to these promises?
Yes.
And that's why when we come to church, we're happy and we're excited and we're filled with joy, because we come here so that we can be reminded, we can hear once again, God has promised you and me. He's promised us all. He's promised us forgiveness, right? Did we hear about that this morning already?
Yes.
We confessed our sins and we heard you are forgiven. That's a promise from God. We also get to talk about what happens in the future, that God has promised us life. Life without end.
because Jesus. Is that something we celebrate? Well, it is something we celebrate in the church. We celebrate that we are going to have life without end, that there's going to be no more sin, no more sickness, no more death. These are the reasons that we come forward, because we are hearing and we're learning to trust God and His promises. Because is God different than the people that broken your promises that you know of? God is faithful, and He keeps His promises. Let us fold our hands as we have the opportunity to pray to our Heavenly Father this echo prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your promises that you are faithful to keep. Help me be filled with joy. Let me excitingly share the promises you give to your people, so that others would know Jesus as Savior. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you very much for coming up this morning, boys and girls. We do have a song that we are going to sing together with our congregation. It's numbered 833, and there is a leader section that I will sing for the congregation, and the congregation will then respond.
all men, listening, hearing, those certainly are
some of the very foundations for today's message. Sometimes, however, we do not always like to listen or hear about things that are unpleasant. We'll just put it that way, right? Things that are unpleasant or things that are maybe a little difficult, we do not always like to have to focus on. There are many such problems. Our gospel reading for today highlights just one of them as it goes to focus on a larger problem that many face. We hear about a disparity that Jesus is talking about during one of his parables. We hear that there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linens and who feasted sumptuously every day. We hear about this rich man. Our society might call him a one percenter, somebody who's in the upper echelons of society. Purple, signifying wealth. Feasting every day. Well, most people were just looking to get by, have their daily bread and sustenance. But no, this man, he lived a lavish lifestyle. Lifestyles of the homes of the rich and famous might be the setting for this parable. Those aren't the ones we don't necessarily like to think about. We maybe aspire to reach that level to a degree in our lives. It's what Jesus speaks of next that we don't always want to have to hear about, to focus on. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. Poor, the homeless, the hungry, the needy. These are those that we do not often desire to have to focus upon. Don't always like to have to hear about them. It's easier to kind of overlook them, to not see them or the needs that they have. And yet, our Heavenly Father, he calls for his followers to care for those that are poor, the needy, the homeless. He may say some other words, but those are the types of people he calls us to care for, that he called the people of Israel to care for in Deuteronomy chapter 24. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hands. Whenever you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. Yes, God cares for the needy, those that are poor, and he desires his people to also care for them. And yes, he's given this even in Deuteronomy as a command for his people of Israel, For God knows the hearts that you and I have, hearts that are often tainted with sinful desires, selfish intentions. And yet, we hear that from Jesus, and that's not even the point, really, of what he's talking about, but it helps lead to the point that he's getting to. Regarding the poor, homeless, and needy, Jesus says, "For you, I always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." There certainly are poor and needy in this world. Poor and needy in regards to physical ailments, like that poor man Lazarus. And yet, it is Jesus that you and I should seek for ourselves and seek to bring to others. For Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Those that call on the name of the Lord, those that believe in Jesus, that have him as their Lord and Savior, they will be saved. It's not just physical ailments that we need to be saved from, but it's the poor and needy, helpless condition that we have as sinners that we need God's salvation from. But how is it that God helps you and me and all those who are in need of forgiveness because of sin? It ends up that you and I are called to hear his word, to follow it, and that leads to life everlasting. The focus of the parable really isn't so much the rich man and whether or not he follows the words that the Lord have given to him, but rather it's whether he believes the words that the Lord has given to him. And does it seem that he believes that he needs to follow God's word? God calls for them, for you and for me, to seek to do what we can to help the sojourner, the widow, the orphans, the poor and the needy. And does this man? No, he doesn't. Lazarus, it says that at the gates of the poor man was laid a poor man named Lazarus. He didn't go there looking for handouts, but rather he was brought to the gates of this rich man. Others knew that the rich man should be looking out for those that were less fortunate. That was kind of the expectation in bringing him to the house of the rich man, that there he might find what he needed. But that wasn't the case in life. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side, but then the rich man also died and was buried. And it says, "And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side." What a reversal this has been. In life, everybody would say, "Boy, look at him. Look at the blessings that he has. He's so well off. God certainly must be shining his favor upon him, this rich man. Look at how good his life is." That's how they've equated it. Richness with God's favor. So if you're rich and God has favored you, then what happens if you are poor? people believe that you have God's favor, if you're down and out, as we might say? No! It seems like God is punishing you for something. That's at least what many people would have you believe. And yet, that isn't the correlation that God would have us have in this life. There certainly are those that God has blessed, and there are those that God has allowed to be in need. And yet the command that we would love our neighbors, care for them, is still there. The rich man dies and he ends up where people did not believe he would end up. It says he ends up in Hades, in hell, in torment, in anguish, wanting even just to have a finger dripped in water placed upon his tongue. And the one who was so poor in this life that he couldn't even fend off the dogs from licking his wounds, there he is at Abraham's side, blessed in heaven. So what's the difference between the two of them? Certainly it wasn't their material possessions. It has to be something else. And that's what Jesus wants you and me and for all to understand. It's not how we've lived in this world in regards to whether we are that 1% or whether we're the dregs of society, those whose lives plagued with problems. No, that's not the factors that determine our eternal life. Rather, it's something else. It's faith. It's believing God in his word. For we hear how the rich man is begging that, well, if you can't do anything for me, then well, maybe you can do something to save my five brothers. Send Lazarus to my father's house. Warn them about my wretched end, so that they may change their ways. But what do we hear in Abraham's response? It says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Hear God's word. God's word spoken through Moses. God's word spoken through the prophets. And for you and for me today, God's word spoken through the apostles, the gospel messages. Those are the words that we are to hear. And then allow them to change our lives, to turn and repent. But the rich man says, no, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. If somebody goes from the dead. But Abraham's answer is, well, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, well, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. This is Luke chapter 16, before Jesus himself suffers, is crucified and buried, and then is raised from the dead. He's raised from the dead, and after that, well, he appears to disciples and to others, and many of them believe. Many of them have already believed, but it just helps them in their faith. But for those who have rejected God's word, Jesus rising from the dead, did they believe it? Did they believe when a man was sent to them, raised from the dead? Many of them did not. But for you and for me, we are blessed to hear God's word, to hear God's calling to us, calling us to turn, to repent, to follow the ways that he would have us walk in this life, to see those that, yes, are in need, to hear about the needs that our communities have, and to ask, what is it that I can do? What is it that we as the church together can do? What is it that others in our community can join us to do to help those in need? For yes, God loves us all. He loves us and desires for us in this world to have life, but especially to have life everlasting. And that comes through God's word as we call upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Paul says, for everyone who hears, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You and I are called by our Heavenly Father to go out to preach, to proclaim the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Starting first with our families, our friends, and moving out from there to proclaim, yes, God's good news, that there is forgiveness through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Declaring the promises that God has given, speaking boldly about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preaching God's word, so that they are able to hear, and hearing that they would then believe and have life everlasting with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hearing the word of God is what leads us to believe. Hearing the word of God is what lead others to believe that they have a Savior from sin and death, that in Jesus they have life everlasting. We certainly do not desire that anyone would end up in hell in the anguish that we hear the rich man describing. No. Rather, our desire is that they would be with us in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, at Abraham's side, trusting and believing, living life everlasting. You and I have the privilege, the pleasure of being filled with the joy of our Savior Jesus Christ and bringing that joy to others, speaking boldly so that they are able to hear God's word. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the apostles. They have the gospels. Let them hear them. Let them hear and believe. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. I invite you to stand as we confess their Christian faith, the Nicene Creed, which expresses what we believe because we have heard the word of God. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that like Abraham, we may believe your promises to us in Christ, and that it may be counted to us for righteousness. Lord, in your mercy, give boldness and diligence to all ministers of your church, that they may proclaim the faith once delivered to the saints. Be with all vacant congregations and pastors considering calls. Send forth laborers into your harvests and sustain those you have sent. Lord, in your mercy, be the defender and shield of all in need, the poor, the hungry, and those without homes or proper employment. Provide for their needs and give them hope in the face of their trials. Stir up in us fervent love for one another, that we would be charitable to bring care and comfort to those around us, since you have shown us perfect charity in your Son. Lord, in your mercy, perfect us in your love, that we may not fear your condemnation, but have confidence in Christ for the day of judgment. Lord, in your mercy, give to your servants all that is needed for this body and life. Heal, strengthen, and comfort the sick, the suffering, the sorrowing, and the dying. And hear the prayers of all who call upon your saving name, especially Rick, Glenn, Wayne, Leon, Tracy, Linda, Steve, Doug, Mark, and Marlene. Teach us to pray so that our hearts may not be undone by anxiety and fear, but rejoice in your grace sufficient for our every need. Lord, in your mercy, give repentance and faith to all who come to your altar this day. Grant that we would not come seeking sumptuous earthly food, but instead discern your holy body and precious blood for the forgiveness of sins and receive it in the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Loving Father, you have kept your promise to Abraham and brought forth the offspring in whom all nations are blessed and counted righteous, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to all people saving faith in this promised Savior, and work in them the love that flows from your love alone. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as our tithes and offerings are gathered. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you.
Therefore also all the holy thing which is born.
Good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. For in the confession of the only one true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy Lord.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the death, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Departed.